this room.
Does it call the communications program or?
Yeah, it's new this year.
Hello.
It's kind of still
quiet. Tell you meetings.
It sort of goes to where we want it to go. But it's run across all the faculties, very much.
Yeah, so to reiterate.
Let's just have to do all of that conversation again.
Yeah, let's just start from the beginning. Hi, I'm Anna. No, so as I was saying, we're going to be producing the film kind of as we go along. What we really, 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 really want to avoid is to have talking heads delivering a kind of triumphalist account of wonderful workings of science.
It can get quite artificial, I think, doing it like that, getting people to sit down and say, this is what we do.
And it wouldn't be very useful, because we know what we can say about stuff, but we don't know what stuff will make us say, if that makes sense. That's a very social scientist-y.
So how are you planning to get people involved? Or is that the big question?
Well, in terms of the public that we're going to be engaging, at the moment we're going through the city council and their... so we have two locations which have had solar powers, solar panels installed recently. Mm. And then, so these will be kind of our key locations where we're going to try and elicit some interest from people. And then there is a possibility of doing a wider sort of engagement with people who have been interested in solar power in the past. We are focusing on people living in council houses. So hopefully we can get access to the city council database in terms of people that have been in touch with regards to solar panels, or even, did he mention locations that were going to have solar panels, but
yeah,
that was withdrawn.
So there's some homes that already have solar on them. There's some which wanted to have solar but weren't allowed because they didn't own their properties. There are some that residents that are planning to move to a new builds that are going to have solar in the future. So there's people who have no interest or engagement with solar power. So we'd like a balance of different public groups with different perspectives to be able to try and get involved in the project. Some of those are going to be easier to capture than others, I would have thought.
So, well, in terms of the methodology itself, it's going to take a while because we really want to engage with people on their own terms without demanding anything out of them without them getting much in return.
It's a bit two-way.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to definitely start with sort of in at-home interviews and just building relationships. So, I don't know, we don't really know where the film is going to come in.
I mean,
in that public engagement
so
scenario.
So, has it started working on different aspects of things that we think are useful both for the traditional exploitation of these kind of technologies? How do you make them more robust?
Mm.
How do you test them when they're outside in the field? That sort of thing. And almost creating the records of that traditional process and then disturbing the process and continuing to create a record is one of the approaches. But I guess we need to talk about how, well, if you're interested, then we need to talk about what you need to get out of being involved in terms of a dissertation as part of your degree and the timescales of that process.
Yeah.
There are a number of different places where I think you could get involved directly, either in the creation of material, the analysis of the material, the archiving and storage of the material, the dissemination through the web of the material. So, we need to kind of talk through those things.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't, because I obviously didn't know the details of the
project. No.
I haven't really thought about the specifics of where would be the best place to get involved. Obviously, like, I have to have submitted my analysis of what I've done by the end of August.
Right, okay, that's your dissertation.
That's my dissertation, yeah.
And how big is that? Is that 10,000 words?
I think it depends what you're doing. They've sort of left it open that if you're just purely doing a research project, it's 15,000, and then depending on who you work for, it's 8 or 10,000 words.
Okay,
but
these are not massive amounts.
They're not, and I'm more than happy to work.
And is it a research dissertation, or is it a kind of action dissertation? Is it doing something?
It's whatever.
It's very flexible,
but
right?
Because there's only six of us, and it's the first time they've done it, they've pretty much said, go out there, find something that works for you, and come back and tell us what it is. So I'm happy to do a doing hands-on project. But obviously it depends what you want from me.
Because obviously there is there's a kind of element of kind of science ethnography processes and how do you document and record real science in action that could form a kind of thesis, and that would be quite academic. Or there could be simply the practical issues of storing and creating the metadata associated with the material and helping out in that sense. There
I
could
quite
be.
Like that aspect of it.
Yeah. I think that'd be quite useful for us, to be honest.
Yeah, that would be great.
And you could be involved in making creating some of the material in terms of taking some films, coming along to meetings, recording, and then helping
somebody
to organise.
Record all the meetings.
But we hope to commission a website where the best material will be literally put out there for public viewing straight away, and the rest of the material will be stored in the same place, but it will be kind of archived for us to go back and use as a kind of ethnographic history of what we've done. But it does depend on us creating the footage as we go along. So teaching us to get into the habit of hitting record is really quite important.
Yeah, no, that's
nice. You've set up a little WordPress web blog that you're going to use as a kind of diary.
Sure, because I could either start to just have my own kind of lab book, but that's mostly just technical numbers and most of the context is inside my head. But if I actually go ahead and send like a blog,
that's what I do.
Yeah, it goes like more like an informal, well, also scientific at the same time. Yeah. And also trying to format like the format for the pages so that somebody other than a scientist could actually understand what's going on. So
but there will be technical data in there as well, right?
Yeah, of course, but it's more like almost educational in the sense. Mm-hmm. So for instance, right now I'm testing comparing the spectral response of the white LED light versus the one from the sun. But also in the same context and adding information, why does it matter that the actual spectrums are different?
Mm-hmm. And so this is vocalising the background thoughts that are there.
Oh,
but
is it publicly available now?
Oh, no, not yet. I mean, should it be?
Within the group, I think. Yeah. But I mean, you've invited me. I haven't looked at that latest post, but yeah, just invite the relevant people within the group. Sure, I think it's a great, because I think actually this background data, which isn't ever explained as part of the reasoning process, is quite important to vocalise, because it's absolutely inherent in the decision making. But you never really. Well, of course, that's the way it is, but it's not ever really spoken about. So I think that's...
Yeah, of course, I mean, if we're having a discussion with Alistair, I mean, like, this information is almost implied, so it's not something that you mentioned. If we were having a discussion with Anna, she would ask the question, why is the different spectrum different? Yeah. So, yes, I mean, that case, that information would be mentioned in the conversation.
So there are certain facts which are implicit, and there are certain unknowns, and it's the distinction between the two that... which is really important, I think, to make completely evident the things that are available for discussion and the things that are kind of fact. There's certain facts about the amount of energy that the sun can provide. There's a limitation. Mm-hmm. We know that that's the case. There's no point arguing about that. But there are loads of things to argue about. And so I guess part of the process is to make it obvious which ones are up for debate.
Yeah, but also in the blog, it's not really mentioned. You cannot really compare like, how the two conversations have taken place between, for instance, Alison and Anna. So it's not implied in the blog. I mean, why I'm actually mentioning this or not mentioning this? Yeah.
I think that blog is a really cool idea. I'm gonna try and.
I think it's probably going to provide a lot of information you wouldn't get from anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because once it's done, that part's gone.
Available for people to read it, so.
So you will put pictures up from the data that you do. You think you would you put up the spectrum of the two sources, and
it's actually there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, cool.
And for the blog, you could also add media, not like JPEGs or PDFs. So I don't know whether also audio could be added.
Yeah,
I think it's possible.
So.
We can subscribe to the if it costs to subscribe to the next version of the WordPress, then we'll do that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, right now it's just for free, so.
Because
there were different editions, weren't there, that
it's
you could...
It's mostly storage space and things. I use WordPress.
Is it?
If you're going to put a lot of big pictures on, it gets to a limit and then it says you've got to pay
$10
a year to make double it, triple it.
Yeah, it's not...
No,
we'll just pay, right?
Amounts,
It's not a lot, I don't think. If it's a big project, it's worth it.
Cool. So you were saying that the part of our project that you've been most interested in would be the archiving issues, did I understand correctly? The light editing, the choosing of what actually is appropriate, I suppose, to the public.
So, yeah, sort of that element of it. I haven't fully... I'm still sort of processing what you're saying, but I mean, yeah, probably that element of things.
That would be very useful indeed.
Yeah, if I can make things useful at the same time, that's great.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Because we'd really need somebody with experience with media when it comes to the light editing of the materials that we were producing. So the way we imagined it was having spoken to the company last week, was having two web pages, the one which is just the data storage and the other one which is the public facing one. And our administrator just having like a dump box where we put our stuff with a short description of what actually went on, and then it's your wonderful task to look through it
anyway for other things, so yeah, that's okay. Like brainwaves and stuff. So.
Do you use film at all?
Yeah, a little bit. Not a huge amount, but we have got people that we can go to who'll give us more in-depth, you know, sort of instruction if that's what we need.
Because if we could tie it, I mean, if science brainwaves was a way to use this material for public engagement, then fantastic.
Yeah. We had people in doing things like sciences of sport and things like that, and we filmed it all. And
right.
The process of, I've got something like 8 hours of tape to go through at the minute, but cutting it down and making that into useful sort of bursts. So I mean, if we could do the same with that, then that'd be a good way to get it out. And obviously, everything would lead back to this project.
Yeah. No.
The only thing I'm thinking about is because you'll be moving on to green pastures and greater things. The thing we'll need to make sure is that there is a good transference.
Yeah. I was thinking that because, I mean, obviously, how long is this project?
Another 3.5 years.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but what is your kind of preferred career path?
Something facing the public at the minute,
right.
Or sort of hands-on getting science to different groups of people. I haven't thought it anymore.
Right, but science
that, but
communication.
as opposed to the sitting in the office writing the press packs or doing the journalism, I'd rather be out there and doing something that's actually touching, reaching people. Science-centered type, or this kind of thing.
There is a... I say I don't want to jump ahead, but there are opportunities to extend this.
Yeah.
So if we, there are, and there are lots of caveats to this statement as well, but the film company that we're potentially going to work with, we probably need to go through more of a tendering process, specify it, and we need to then stage exactly what we ask them to deliver to us. But there's a scheme called Knowledge Transfer Partnerships whereby you basically write an application for funding to transfer knowledge between university and an industrial partner, and they're quite interested in that as a possibility. And the project has the potential to use one of these knowledge transfer partnership schemes to extend the work and to a certain extent subsidise the work past that August deadline. I don't want to put too much emphasis on that, but I do want to highlight that there is a potential opportunity there to end up with a kind of KTP post with this film company, but it would depend on lots of things, like obviously how well you were to do during the project, whether or not we were to get the funding, whether or not this film company were to be as successful at creating and helping us with the media as we think they probably are.
Yeah.
But that I just wanted to make sure that was on the table, but it's obviously a long way off.
Just in terms of domestic stuff, like I'm planning to be in Sheffield at least December, so
right.
Even if it was just helping the transfer and sticking around extra couple weeks, then that's not
important. I mean, we'd probably be able to find the funding to help that happen as well.
Could I see some of the stuff that you're doing at the moment at some point? Would that be okay?
Yeah, it's quite varied at the minute because
we're
just sort of starting some new things, but yeah, that would be
anything
in particular.
No, I'd just like to... what would I like to see? I think what I would really like to see is the cutting down that you're doing at the moment. You said that you have 8 hours of tape to go through.
This is what I'm spending most of Thursday doing, so after
right.
that I can probably try and supply.
No. if I could like be there with you for a few hours just to kind of get to know your thinking. Because the very important issue for our data archiving and the way that we want to kind of catalog and like edit our material has to do with sort of social science-y understandings of science. And not knowing you, I just don't know how you think, so I'd really like to find that out. So if I could kind of come and hang out with you for a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
That would be great.
That's fine. I'll have to check times and things because I'm sort of working one day at a time at the minute, but
yeah,
that would be fine. I mean, I'm going to be starting from quite the boring parts of cutting out huge swathes of...
Nothing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, no, it's fine. I have a very high threshold for boredom.
That's what you need, that's why I've been putting it off.
Okay,
because I didn't do the filming, they just handed the tapes over and said, can you do it with this? And I've just got a little stack of those mini DV tapes to go through.
Sure,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not doing much, I'm just writing my thesis, so, you know, any kind of distraction is welcome.
I think I've got 2 hours booked in the media suite on Thursday afternoon, but that is literally just transferring the footage from the tapes to the computers because it's quite slow. But if I book something after that, I'll let you know.
Yeah, that would be really great. I'd love that.
So, Anna, my question, if you're editing 8 hours, are you actually watching the 8 hours in real time?
I'll probably watch it in fast forward to start with.
Okay, all right.
Because, I mean, there was an hour and a half lecture and a break in the middle and somebody filmed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, most of the audience shots are just going to be lots and lots of panning around the room showing what people are doing, which we don't need very much of.
Okay.
You can count the number of people that are asleep, right?
Exactly, yeah. And how many children needed to be taken out halfway through. And,
and this was sports science?
We've got two. I've got the sports science tapes, and I've got the tapes from... We do an annual Christmas lecture as part of Brainwaves.
Right.
So we did the beginnings of the universe, so we got a guy from UCL who did, like, the Big Bang.
Okay.
And a big, massive timeline. He had, like, a rope across St. George's, and he hung different events... like different explosions and formation of hydrogen and iron and everything, and he got people to clip things to it, which is great, but I mean it's so long, it's so much footage and stuff to go through. But I'm going to try and make both of those sort of into short.
Sure.
Yeah. It's good, it'd be interesting to sort of see what you think of it as well.
Well, if you're interested, you are interested.
Yeah, I am interested.
Yeah, I'll send you a link if I can find it. There's this beautiful ethnographic film, which I had just seen this weekend. Nikki's been writing about it.
She didn't send the link to it. Is there
a link to the film?
That's
the problem. I'm not sure whether it is actually available. I'm going
to. Because I went to the website of the company, but there was there was a picture or two and
no I'm not
link.
Sure. I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere embedded privately for the moment. So I'm going to write to them. Director or to the filmmaker and ask him directly because I met him on that. It's basically a short ethnographic movie about it's part of a story about the recycling of clothing and what happens to clothing that you give to charity. So this particular movie is a story of how a particular sorter in India, a woman that goes for a clothing and decides kind of which conveyor belt it goes to, imagines the West through the clothing that she... And it's and there is a bigger narrative of what actually happens to our clothes.
So this is part of a bigger project?
Yeah, it was one of the outcomes of the project that funded the PhD. And it's an astonishing movie. It's really, really beautifully done, and it's like... It's become sort of best practice in my mind. So this is, hopefully, the kind of thing that we would be going for as well as kind of a main output out of the project. But I'd just like you to watch it so that you kind of get an idea of what I mean by ethnographic filmmaking. You probably know already, I don't know. That's one of the reasons why I need to hang out with you more.
I think I know what you mean, but it would help to watch something like that, because I've probably not seen something quite that sort of with the...
It's quite a big... So that kind of film is retrospective, looking back into... Well, it's imagining a present and... by materials that are coming from the past, I suppose, but we're thinking about technologies of the future, so how to capture that is a little bit more complicated, along with the fact that solar panels aren't very interesting.
I don't know, I think in a way it might be always nicer to be visioning the future rather than the past, because it's much easier to sort of make it more positive, depending on what you're looking at, I suppose.
Yeah, but how do you capture it visually?
It's not the visual... The future is not a visual thing, is it? We've got pictures in our mind, but we can't put those on.
The architecture students are kind of actually making the future.
Yeah.
Sorry?
The architecture students.
They are making a model of a potential future, aren't they? Yeah. The project itself has researchers in the physics and social science departments, and also in engineering and in architecture. And the engineering and architecture kind of fit into the project a little bit at the periphery, but can add a lot more value in terms of different... So the engineers are people who research batteries and electric vehicles and energy systems, and the architects are... It's a lady who's a design architect who has engaged her undergraduate, fifth and sixth year students in the process of designing a neighbourhood. Technology integration within the neighbourhood to try and make it a bit more sustainable, and PV is becoming part of the design, we hope. And the idea is that they will build a neighbourhood model, I don't know, half the size of this room or something, and we can use that as a vehicle to engage different...
Yeah, but I don't think that our film would necessarily be about making futures.
No, it's about the process. Well, no, it's about the research process, isn't it? But
I think it's going to end up being about practice.
But I mean, that's sort of the driving force.
But you need to.
I mean, that's what everyone's got in mind all the time. Is that end point? I mean, you can work that in without making it focused.
Yeah, but I think one of the messages of our whole project is going to be that there isn't an end point, that the goal emerges from the work that you do. It's not...
But I mean, it answers the why question. So it answered the question of why things are being done. People always want to know why
you're doing that.
Well, yeah, but that's different to achieving an already existing future.
Yeah.
So you're striving to make something better or useful, more useful, or a better solution, but that doesn't mean that you're kind of going from A to B. It sort of means that you're starting at A and then you're doing that. And then you end up somewhere else, but it's not necessarily B.
That is the conflict in communicating the traditional motivation for science research, though. The statement, we're going to make cheaper solar cells, actually that's an incredibly complicated statement, because even if we make a cheaper solar cell, that doesn't mean that it's cheaper to install, it's cheaper to ship, it's actually not going to live as long, it's not going to look the same, it's going to be integrated in different ways into buildings. So the fact that the motivation, let's make cheaper solar cells, isn't a simple statement at all, but that is the defining motivation of, I don't know, however many tens of million pounds worth of EPSRC funding in the UK right now. Let's make cheaper solar cells without any consideration of the other factors. Almost whatsoever. And when it comes to executing the research grant, it's not let's make cheaper solar cells anymore, it's let's make some interesting high impact science that happens to have a remit within the solar cell field. So the statement of intent is important, but it's also somewhat misleading, I think.
I think it's the usual kind of domestication of statements in science, isn't it, when it comes to communicating basically to bidders. You have to go for something which is quantifiable.
Yeah.
And that obscures a lot of non-quantifiable stuff that's actually going on.
Yeah, it sort of needs to have no caveats to get through a lot of...
Yeah. It's part of the kind of audit culture that we function in, but that doesn't mean that this is how science works. And I think that's something that we really want to communicate.
Certainly the unknown and the uncertainty is where some of the real value comes from, but it's impossible to write that on a piece of paper as a motivation for getting a research grant funded.
Because it conveys risk, or it immediately conjures.
Well, risk is what did Callan say? Risk is something which can be quantifiable, but uncertainty can't be quantified.
Yeah, that's much worse. That's why my sister always talks about markets this way, because she's like an investment consultant, and she's always saying about markets that, you know, when it's the worst situation that you can possibly have for the economy is uncertainty. If you know that things are getting worse, it's all right. If you know that things are getting better, that's fine as well. If you don't know what's going on, that's where the real trouble starts, because if you can't quantify things, the economy stops, and that has kind of seeped into all other areas of life as well.
But that's also perceptual. I mean, that's so the story that you tell to the people, because people don't really know how the economy works. But I mean, economics have this imagination, this fantasy of how things are are going according to them, and that's the story they sell to the public.
Mm.
And the public's actually happy that somebody's explaining the fantasy to them, so
yeah.
for them there is no problem. So
economics as witchcraft.
So is that the same with science? Because so,
yeah.
At least so for now, it's like a very exciting technology. Like so many increases in efficiency happen, like, you know, every year, like, you know, 20% compared to the previous year. So at least for organics, it's a very bright future right now. But there are like, you know, previous technologies, like, you know, amorphous silicon, like, you know, 10 years before, that people thought that was the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually the technology used so taper off advancements in efficiency, how better it could be made as the previous year, and it's stagnant. Is that also...
Well, actually, amorphous silicon has steadily increased its market share over the last 10 years, even though the efficiency hasn't increased. So,
is it because it's so stable?
It's actually amorphous silicon is less stable than crystalline silicon, I think. It has some effect whereby it gets a little bit more efficient, or less efficient over the first, like, 100 hours of operation, and then it kind of plateaus off. But probably because there haven't been any improvements in the efficiency of amorphous silicon, it's got less profile within the academic
mm-hmm.
community, even though its market penetration is actually increasing all the time. So that I think that may be a how the information about the technology is packaged up and sold on.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, it became, I guess, less exciting.
Yeah.
Funding for the investigation research decreased. So when you go to like universities actually doing work in solar cells, almost nobody is getting their degrees on amorphous silicon,
mm-hmm.
as compared to right now, like organic. It's like
by far the most
like mushrooms after the rain. Everybody wants to get into the bandwagon
yeah.
because so. You could work on new technology, maybe patent like a new intellectual property, and hopefully make money at the end. And also because it's exciting and things so happen within your tenure, 2 years or so. So, well.
But so
mm-hmm.
the scientific interest does not translate into market
no.
uptake at all.
No, I don't think so. But
well, I think it happens. You know, there is a lot of funding for renewable, and I think the government throws money at different technologies. I hope that eventually, 5 years into the future, at least some of them will actually survive or get enough research, and then maybe get the industry interested enough in the technology to actually fund or like, you know, pre-commercial the production. So I mean, who knows where this in 5 years will reach a threshold in the efficiency.
Mobilization of facts.
And then also actually people will actually want to put them in the roof. So, and that's something we're working on right now, where it's important for people to have like a very high efficiency, or whether it's just so to be cheap enough. So that's
mm-hmm.
worth it for them to, I know, work for like an evening and then have something in the roof
yeah,
like 5 years and
yeah.
then try to replace it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You see, that's how all our meetings go. We start with a very, you know, down-to-earth issue that we have to deal with, and then we're off into philosophy of science.
That's how it works, though. But you can't really get around it.
So it's good. We
so,
recorded
yeah,
the philosophy
yeah,
of science
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, probably
know?
Have
good.
Not missed too much. So we think that by making these other issues like an intrinsic part of the research that we do, we might actually discover new ways to do research which consider them from the outset, and that there
more
are different
open access type research.
Yeah, that we're not going to hide any of these kind of social issues. They're going to be present all the way through, and it might not change anything that we do. It may be that we still actually behave in the same way in the lab, but if that's the outcome, at least we've been open to the possibility that we will change the way that we'll work in the lab.
And then you can see what stopped us, what didn't go right, and that's a learning experience as well. So,
like, when you foresee that something will actually change and they will help I do things. I mean, do you see that happening in, I don't know, by June, by the end of the year?
No, I suspect it will take longer. I suspect, I mean, this is why I think it's quite important to have some kind of baseline of how we're currently working. But we can use the other members of the EPMM research group to benchmark and baseline against as well. So we're not constrained with just...
More projects.
So we've got other EPSERC-funded research into organic solar cells, with probably another 10 people working on this type of technology within the physics department.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use them and the way that they work and some, I guess, some history about how they've worked in the past. And we can go and talk to other research groups around the UK if we want to get footage about how people work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can
yeah.
use that as a kind of benchmark to, well, if we have introduced different kind of driving discussions, then has that changed what the way that we're working within this project? And actually, even if we were to disseminate to the other groups, does it actually change the way that other people work as well? I mean, that's the interest, right?
Actually, I've never thought about that before. We really need to talk to people who don't do the sort of wacky stuff that we do.
Yeah.
And we need to talk with them, to them with cameras.
Yes, no, that would be really nice if they would be willing to do that. Certainly our research, the EPMM group, I'm sure we'll be able to find a couple of...
Most people don't mind being.
No, I don't think so.
In my experience.
Right.
Yeah, as a kind of baseline, a benchmark of, well, is it any different now? Are the discussions different? Are people making decisions in a different way?
Mm.
Can I ask one thing that's sort of not directly relevant? I read the pages that you uploaded, or somebody uploaded, to do with this
right
originally. Did it say it spread across other projects and other universities?
Yes.
Is that related to what you... Not what you...
Okay, the funding for this filming and ethnography and dissemination by a film is actually comprised of a pot of money that's spread across four different research projects across the UK. And it was four projects that were all funded at the interface of social science and physical sciences. Two of those projects are kind of computer science oriented and another is psychology.
Yeah.
I would hope that you would work on our project within Sheffield.
I'm curious how it would connect, really.
It's to do with funding,
yeah,
and it's to do with creating tools and vehicles for dissemination across the projects and across the wider audiences of research in the UK. The reason film has been chosen across these projects is because we think it's going to be quite an effective vehicle to disseminate stuff back to schools and other academics rather than the traditional media of scientific papers.
Yeah.
So it's really about funding.
Okay.
But we also realise that while we have quite a lot of money to do this across the different university groups, we still don't have enough because we're being quite ambitious.
Yeah, I think that's worth it. I think if you're doing something, you should do it properly.
But we also think that there should be more funding available through widening participation grants and that sort of thing over the coming years as well, although that's definitely still to be finalised. Okay. So Simon Goodwin said he would kind of co-supervise, and that might give a good reference point to help with the kind of planning of a dissertation but isn't involved in the project. So Simon's astrobiologist, he lives next door, so he's done quite a lot of at science outreach with schools and things, and he's involved in the science communication course, the MSc course.
He supervises one of my modules.
Okay, so hopefully he would be pulling you towards, this is what you need to do.
Yeah, no, I think you might need a kind of stabilising force here in order to achieve a thesis, because you could end up getting...
I could easily just throw myself in and forget that I'm writing a project at all.
Yeah, and that's really quite important to make sure that you get out of this learning for you a good mark and also a direction of career that you want to take.
I think I also have to report back to Alan Pacey fairly frequently. So
that's another stabilising force as well.
But I mean, this is the kind of area that I'm interested in long term anyway, so I mean, the more I can do with you, the better.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah. Cool. Do you need to construct a kind of one-page plan for your project?
Probably at some point. I need to present it. The beginning idea, sort of early to mid-February, I can't remember the exact date, but that is sort of a preliminary, this is probably what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Get input and stuff.
And when would you be able to start working on stuff?
Probably from then.
From middle of February, basically.
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
that's pretty much timed, right? So we're going to get a training session done with this film company to teach us how to get the camcorder out and take footage and remember to switch on the voice recorder and that sort of stuff. I don't know how they'll do that, but and that will hopefully be within the next, I guess, 6 weeks, hopefully sooner than that. And that will involve the other projects around the UK as well. And then we'll hire them to come in every month or something to different project meetings and take professional footage, and also to set up some cameras in some of the labs that we work in.
When do you think they'll deliver the web pages?
Well, the web... I mean, that could go quite quickly. So I'm working, so in terms of, because there's a lot of data when it comes to taking film, and we're looking at using what's called the National Grid Service, which is a computer service set up by particle physicists around the UK, a kind of place to store information. And there's some guys sitting down the corridor here who, almost it's their remit to help people use this National Grid Service. So they're helping me set up a place where we can store data. And it won't be trivial to start with to upload to that place, but we'll learn how to do it. But they'll help, hopefully they will end up helping this film company set up a website where we can use the website to upload and download film information to this National Grid Service. So that will be a collaboration between these particle physicists, this film company, hopefully yourself, and hopefully we'll bring in another social scientist, Helen, I think, who will, I guess, be more interested, I think maybe move more to the analysis of the material that we curate, basically. But she'll, I think she'll be available to kind of help with this as well.
Initially, how much do you think, how much time are you going to need me for? I mean,
I don't know.
My commitment drop off completely May the 9th, pretty much, I think.
Right, so you've still got talk courses?
I've still got some talk courses, but I mean, that's like 6 hours a week, but I've got some sort of ongoing projects that I'll be working on a little bit until then.
I mean, we'll have to obviously plan with you.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't ask you to do a full 40-hour working
week. I don't want to sort of say that I'm going to do it, and then when it comes to it, not be able
not
to.
Be able to. Well, it'll be, we'll need to just keep you in the loop.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, it's going to take... We need to learn to record footage. You then need to learn... I mean, that's the most important thing, that we record stuff.
Mm.
The second most important thing is that we don't record so much stuff that we are lost in it.
Through it, that's the problem.
And so we need the kind of... way that we upload it and store it and create metadata attached to it, and this website that lets us organise it and review it and stuff like that. And not all of those actions are on yourself, but maybe if it depends on what your thesis is about, I think.
Yeah.
If it's about thinking about methods to store it or search it or reorganise it as part of a communication activity, which I guess is probably where it should be, because it's a science communication, more about the process of making something
actually
from what we've recorded.
Yeah.
But that, as part of that, you'll obviously have to be able to organise it.
Categorise it.
Then actually it could be phased by a couple of months, 3 months later than when we kick off in anger creating stuff all the time. I mean, we're going to hopefully end up with footage and material all the time now, but...
Mm.
It may be that in the interim it's a hard drive where this stuff gets stored, and then we transfer it onto this grid service, and then the grid service becomes integrated with a website, and you know it's
It evolves into sort of a routine.
But we need to plan when you would end up getting strongly involved in.
So I don't have serious time commitments at all. Really, I have sort of an hour here and there during the week that I could work around. It's just that I will still be working on other projects as well, partly.
So while you kick off in the middle of February, you're talking about a day a week or
on
your project?
Or possibly even less than that. I've got to put together a school workshop for May 9th.
Right.
And that's more or less some journalism coursework.
Okay.
So I'm not going to be heavily tied up, but I wouldn't be able to do like 9 to 5 every day.
No. But we need to know how many... To integrate you in, we need to know how many... We just need to know your timetable.
Yeah, well, I don't
know yet.
I'm waiting for them to finalise everything. As soon as I know, I'll let you know. It tends to be a bit...
sporadic.
Yes. But I think they know that now we're starting to commit to long-term projects, they're going to have to sort of finalise it.
Because May, they're not... May, June, July...
Yeah, but I mean...
It's actually only 3 months of proper work, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think we'll have less and less. By then, but obviously that's what I need to check with Alan
right.
to see what I can tell you. But most of my time will be dedicated to this.
Yeah, we'll find out. It's really important, I think, because going through March, April, May, I think
that
could be the critical period, really.
Would it be useful if Holly came to our meeting tomorrow? What are we going to be talking about? Bangladesh and UK
energy.
Yeah. But in terms of legislation, maybe it won't be that much.
I'm trying to define what Margaret does in terms of collecting and organising information.
But that's basically a literature search.
Yeah, but a little bit non-traditional, because I think that popular media and policy documents.
Press briefs.
Important as academic papers.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe that's not such a big...
I think that meeting is a little bit more about directing Margaret than it is about open discussion. Yeah, trying to create some value from her work into the project. But I think basically to get back to Ravi, and Ravi's the guy who runs this company, the film company that we're talking about, which is called GovEd Communications, and need to make a plan with Ravi about when they can deliver that training and about the website, and then need to get a conference call with the website guys at his end, my particle physicists, and as the conference call about how that site could look and feel. And we also need to get, I mean, this, what would be important is if the Bangladesh, the film about the recycled clothes, if they present that, then you should be definitely at that presentation, and hopefully we can get a copy of it, but maybe they'll be reluctant to actually just forward on a digital copy.
I'm not sure, they may not be, because it was part of the Ways of the World.
Yeah, Nikki owns it.
No, they own it.
Right.
It was a spin-out. I mean, the director of the film, she was a translator, and she just got really fascinated by what was
really?
Going
on. So she kind of created a film business based on... It works.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
I know, such a spirited woman. She's really great.
That's brilliant.
But I think that the most interesting thing about that film was the idea development, because they thought, you know, they were narrating it a little bit during this film showing, because it started off following one thread, but that didn't carry through, and it was like this story of what actually happens in the making of an ethnographic movie, but it's very shifty, like everything. It's becoming a bit of a meta theory, isn't it? You never get from A to B, you get from A to somewhere else, and same thing with the ethnographic filmmaking. So it was very interesting to hear them talking about it, but also how that they had to adjust their, you know, how it translates into the practice of filming.
Yeah, that's definitely a key. A to B is what is presented in science documentary, but A to B was never what happened.
No.
B was unknown when you started at A.
Yeah.
And it's actually the process of getting somewhere else that we're trying to uncover here, I think. Yeah.
Well, it makes for a more digestible story if there is like an outline and like what you started and where you tell people you ended.
But that's okay, I think, so long as you had, you tell the story that wasn't where you were designed to end up.
Yeah.
So if you tell the story, oh, we started here and we ended up at B, where we planned to go all along, then, well, that's not fair to science documentaries. But I think I don't think the process is made explicit, is it?
I guess that's how most science documentaries show it. Not that it's not uninteresting, because then you can show adversity and trouble and drama in the middle of getting from A to B.
Yeah.
But the fact that B was not exactly the way that it was set out to be when you were in A is not kind of talked about. So I don't know. You get from Earth to Moon, and you still get from Earth to Moon, but in the meantime, what gets you to Moon has become something completely else that you imagine at the beginning, and I think that's the interesting bit.
Sure, I mean, it's like, I don't think that it's like technology ladder, like, I know, just you go step after step, but more like a technology phase, that if you want to go from here to here, there's like many possible paths that you can take. So
I think people are receptive to that if you show it like that, but people tend to assume that what they see is how it really went, and they're willing to just accept the A to B.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a dominating narrative. That's what we're doing is a bit different.
Your pathways thing is right, isn't it? It's just that where that is could be equally well over here to the left or to the right of where you're talking about, and there may be a better solution over here that's still on the pathway, but it wasn't.
But it's also the question of what is better. So usually you have this is the science process, right? And different things that happen with your materials and different intellectual kind of influences that you have during the process of actually doing something, and then you get to be. But what we're also bringing in here now is people to disturb this as well and say, well, actually, why is efficiency good? Why is size important? Why is whatever important? How about X, Y, Z? And then you end up moves somewhere else again.
Sure. Well, so. I think also, that's probably beyond the scope for, I don't know, your involvement, but I guess for the film, you need to mention what's a successful outcome. I mean, at least for me, a successful outcome would be mass implementation of organic solar cells in the UK.
That would be successful if you had a share in the company that were making those solar cells.
Well, professional pride, I guess.
Because
I work on that, maybe at least for 2 years, so, and I had like a small part on that outcome, so at least I'll be happy
if that
happened. If 5 years from now, organic solar cells decide to be like a dead technology, that would be, at least I have some experience on that, at least professional pride I feel of fulfillment of my work would be slightly less than if the sort of golden outcome of like a mass acceptance happens.
I think from the point of view of this project, success is measured by acceptance and acceptability
of
technology.
Within like a 2 year to time horizon, probably that will not happen. Maybe like in 5 years.
No, but just talking about the micro stories of our participants.
Okay,
no, I'm not talking about the market. I mean, who knows what the market will be, will do, whether it will still exist. It's a bit of an unknown.
Yeah, by acceptance you mean that our participants are comfortable discussing the process by which technology is developed and...
No, but I meant in terms of the devices, acceptance of the devices and the... Hopefully, you know, integration of devices into their lives, or an imagined integration of their devices into their lives, making them relevant. I think that would be a social science sort of success. If the technology can become relevant, that would be very, very interesting.
So, they would have imagined futures where these technologies would be part of their life.
Yeah, exactly. I think so.
Does that...
Well, I guess, I mean, but the film will be completed, I mean, by maybe around 3 years from now on. So, I guess, as long as we have, like, something to show, that could be considered a success, but also could be success, at least from the social perspective, that where people are actually happy of engaging with the social scientists and working with them and actually telling them that they're actually accepting solar as part of their lives. Maybe for like a physical scientist would be like a different metric for success. But
I think from EPSEC's point of view, success would be that there's a breed of scientists, whether social or physical, that can cross the boundary and disturb the way that work is done traditionally. And that some of the methodologies that we end up discussing are to a certain extent implemented in a laboratory somewhere. And it doesn't have to be solar cell technology laboratory, but it could be someone else's laboratory. That the way that we learn to work together and with publics actually changes what we'd call the traditional science approach. And that those laboratories are more open, transparent, and that science is done in a way that is acceptable, or more acceptable to some extent, I suppose.
Yeah, I still keep thinking about relevance, but maybe relevance is not such a good thing because it can...
I mean, there are many science technology pathways that are complete failures, and that's part of the process. You've got to be able to accept perceived failure in the sense that not achieving the goal of B. It may be that organic solar cells never achieve goal B, but that doesn't mean that the work that's gone on in trying to achieve that goal hasn't been useful. And it would be wrong, I think it's wrong to think that if there isn't a wide acceptance of organic solar cells, I haven't done my job properly. I think that would obviously be one outcome, but I don't want that outcome if it's not the right thing to have done by the people that those technologies are then forced upon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, I mean, some technologies are useful in making these things so to work efficiently and to last a long time, because we apply for all technologies, you know, like organic electronics, like this all this we have in your TV. So not everything's lost if this technology is declared dead 5 years from now. So
definitely not. And if the right thing is solar cells, but ones made from silicon, and by engaging with organic solar cells, we managed to make the decision that silicon solar cells are actually the right way to go, then, and people are happy with that, and we've engaged with the process of research that makes them happy with that, then that would be a positive outcome as well, I think. But obviously not so good for the science that goes on in the organic solar cell research lab, but that's the different question, right? That's why the traditional process of reward and credit for science and impact needs, I think, to be disruptive to a certain extent. Anyway, this is definitely philosophical and drifting off the point of film, but film hopefully will expose these issues a little bit and make them important.
It's a big project.
Yeah. Right, action plan?
Right, well, you need to decide or have a bit of a think about how you want to wrap this into your dissertation. Think about it from your point of view, your selfish point of view. How am I going to get a career, a dissertation, and manage this within my existing work schedule? So I want to know how much free time you potentially have in different places and how much you're willing to commit. And we need to design a program of work that adds value to our project, but also creates what you need at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I need. Obviously, there's also scheduling the different training activities and getting you involved in those, and that will happen as a matter of course, I think.
Getting you some reading done,
in
social science and physical science.
To a certain extent, I suspect solar cells are less important to know about than using film as an ethnography method.
But I would probably be interested in reading a bit more
about solar cells. Yeah.
I think you're going to learn an awful lot by watching the material.
Well, I mean, that's the way to learn, right? Is to use the material and discussions that you would have as a learning vehicle. I mean, I think in terms of your thesis, you'll probably end up drifting more towards methods of recording science process. And I don't know there must be literature on that.
I have a big archive of literature I can search through. There's a couple of journals dedicated pretty much to that.
It would be really interesting for us to see your digest of that. If this is something that only if it's something that you're producing
anyway.
Oh yeah,
I'm spend the rest of the day pulling together articles and things and what research I can get that's relevant. I think I can get.
If you'll be producing a literature review for your dissertation on that, that would be really great for us to see actually.
Yeah. That would be traditional methods of science engagement and communication, basically.
Yeah,
that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, well, I'll see what I can do with that. I think it's a good place to start, probably, from my point of view.
Oh yeah, I think it is definitely, because that's the context with which you'll be writing your thesis, actually, won't it?
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Cool. All right.
So let me know when would be a good time for me just to hang out with you
a little bit
more.
I've got your email address because we're all coming to the same email.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, at the minute, because we've been back sort of a week and a half officially, they're still sort of throwing new sessions and stuff.
Well, I spoke to someone who sounded like there wasn't any talk content this semester, but maybe that's not true.
They're
making it up as they go along a bit, aren't they?
Yeah. that's very much been how the whole course goes, really. They say, well, this week actually, we're going to do this.
If we could throw some more credits in this direction.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a possibility, do you think?
I don't know. I mean,
how many credits is assigned to the dissertation?
60. It's a third of my course.
Okay, and how many have you completed already?
I don't know, to be honest, because some things are going across two terms.
Right. Because if we could lob another 20 credits onto the dissertation, that would be helpful from a resource point of view.
Yes.
Talk to Alan. Go back and have a chat with Alan about this. A vast amount of really relevant stuff, but if the literature survey could end up being a 20 crediter, that's 200 hours worth of literature review. That's kind of nice stuff.
Yeah.
You can see where I'm coming from.
No, definitely. I'll see.
But I mean, if they're flexible, then that makes sense, doesn't it?
Like I said, at the minute, I think, as far as I know, my commitment is 3 hours, 4 hours a week, and an hour every 3 weeks, or something.
So that sounds like a lot of spare time, but actually, when you roll in the coursework as associated with those taught things.
Yeah, but I mean, it comes and goes.
Well, right.
It's nothing think about it.
Yeah, it's nothing about how handle. I'm sure. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Think about how you plan it.
Mm.
Cool.
Brilliant. Okay, well, we'll keep you in the loop on that.
Yeah, like if there's sessions and things you think I should
I'll
make them work, I'll get there.
But you're basically signing up to this right now?
As long as you're happy to I think it's great. I think it's really interesting. And as long as I can be helpful, then great.
Cool.
That'll be great.
Bro.
Okay, thank you very much.